And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com every night till 10 o'clock here on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And with me, Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman, I think we're back to normal. We have announced that Bobby Dooley, and I know it's much to your chagrin, Margaret, that Bobby Dooley will be doing a special segment at least once a week on our show. To follow up on the success of the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is available for free on our website under Free Stuff, or you can go to iTunes, you can go to SoundCloud, you know, wherever you'd like to go.
Well, I'm not, I wish you'd hold off. I'm not all that upset about it. That would connote or denote jealousy, and of her, I am not jealous. I wish her success. Phil, you don't understand. I have a rich, full life. A husband who is an entertainment lawyer as well as a renowned producer. I have a son, I have my column, and I have this show. I suspect... what are you doing?
I'm just... Wait, nothing?
Why is he drumming his fingers on the tabletop?
Don't do that, Bud. It's very rude.
Well, when's she going to be done?
I'm done now.
Hey!
Kick his ass.
Watch it, will you?
I'm done now. How about after the show?
Yeah, sure. You think you'd hurt me?
You're going to get into a fight now?
Mr. Henry, you're all like, I think that's bad, you know?
It is, Phil. If you react that way, people think you don't have control.
You're just the one... You just went after this guy, physically. And I did what?
You went... I don't care if I went after... I had every right in the world to go after him.
All I'm saying is, we're burning daylight.
I don't take my direction from you, you ass. I take it from,
me.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say you.
All right. So anyway...
Sorry for breathing. Good.
Yeah, let Mr. Henry do it.
Should I let Mr. Henry take your head off after the show out in the parking lot? Because that...
Hey, come on. Now, you know, some of this stuff's going to be heard, and people are going to think you're serious...
I am. I'm very serious.
Okay, well, that means cops are going to show up and they're going to want to arrest you for ripping a guy's head off.
Yeah, she can.
You want to watch me?
Hey, come on, man.
God. Well, at least you're not sitting there going, easy, easy.
Yeah, I was saying that, Mr. Henry.
Okay, fine. Why don't you, you know something, Dickman? One of these days, I'm not going to hold her back. And I know, you remember what happened that one time?
Yeah, I should have had her arrested.
For what, you baby?
Well, you kicked him in the ribs and rolled him outside, and then threw a bucket of water on him. Now, you know...
Right, I thought that was a good touch.
You know, yeah, if it was a TV Western. Now, you know what can happen, so why don't you just shut up, man? All right? And I'll handle these things. And the fact of the matter is, if you think somebody is boring, you're not supposed to sit there. You're supposed to help them out, Bud. You're supposed to support the team members here.
That's a good point, Mr. Henry.
In fact, where is General Shaw?
General Shaw's got it, vanilla?
Hold on. The vanilla wafers were where?
There, I gotta go help him.
Go ahead. Is this gonna be every day?
Well, he doesn't know where the vanilla wafers are.
Well, then someone can tell him where the vanilla... What is it with the vanilla wafers?
I was told I'd get a box of vanilla wafers. What? All of a sudden, you got your nose stuck in everything, don't you?
Well, he does get vanilla.
Great. Did you get your Nilla wafers?
Yes, sir. I got my Nilla wafers. Are you going to hold that against me as well as the Bartles and James? You see, I'm retired, Phil. I enjoy my life. I don't let anyone not let me enjoy my life.
Oh, you have the box of it.
Yes, I've got a box of vanilla wafers. Why is this all of a sudden an issue?
I don't know. I just wondered where you were, and then Bud said... And I... By the way, it's no problem, you know, General, that's fine. You can eat what you want. Kind of a weird snack, don't you think?
No, I don't think it's a weird snack. What's with you?
Phil, don't...
Boy, I'll tell you. Look at this. Get a load of this guy giving everybody, judging everyone. He sits there wearing a hat. The last time I saw a hat like that was at Bob Marley's funeral, and he was wearing it. And he wasn't looking too good either. So how about that?
That's not funny.
I'm not trying to be funny.
You was at Bob Marley's funeral?
Yes, I was.
No, you weren't.
All right, no, I wasn't.
No, seriously, General, were you at Bob Marley's funeral?
I was at Bob Marley's funeral, and I was very proud to be at Bob Marley's funeral, because I happen to like his music. And you wouldn't think that, would you?
No, General, I never think you'd be a Bob Marley fan. What's that?
I loved his music. Get up, stand up, jaw. Stand up for the... You've heard the music, Phil, right?
I love Bob Marley, yeah. I've got his music on my iPod.
That music carried me for many, many years. I enjoyed that music. For me, it was very uplifting. And I love... I don't want to wait. As a matter of fact, when I met Caroline, my wife, I sang that song to her.
Oh, you didn't. I don't want... Waiting in vain?
Waiting in vain. I don't want to wait in vain for your love. And I do the do-do-do-do-do. I don't... To me, it was... And I know she enjoyed it. To this day, I know when I have a lone moment, I will think, yes, I know she did. I know she did.
Well, what did she tell you?
Well, she told me she didn't, but I know that she's... Deep down, she did.
I think deep down she did, too. I think she probably didn't like your singing.
Whoa. Hold the phone. No, deep down, she liked my singing. Deep down, she likes Bob Marley. Everything.
But even though she tells you no, she didn't.
She tells me a lot of things. She said to me once, don't you dare spend that money on that Greek vacation. And I went ahead and I did it anyway. And I'm sure that she was happy to get me out of the house.
What did you do?
Where did you go?
Which question do I answer first?
Where did you actually take a Greece? Did you?
No, I didn't take any Greece. I went to Greece.
By yourself?
Oh, here we go. So are we going to hear some crowbar jokes now?
Well, it's very...
Never mind. I'm sorry I'm asking, okay?
Yeah, you're sorry. So are we hearing crowbar jokes, yes or no? I got to get ready.
No, we're not. What does he mean by crowbar jokes?
The whole thing about men and boys in Greece. Why did you go to Greece?
Because I felt like going to Greece, because it's the birthplace of democracy, because it is one of the most ancient cultures in the history of the world. And because Caroline didn't want to go, she was staying with her father, who had had a heart attack, and I said, I understand, but I'm going to Greece. Toss a coin. What's it going to be? She said, I'm staying with my dad. I said... Great, have a nice time, you know, emptying out a bedpan.
Well, that's very insensitive if her father was sick.
Her father wasn't sick. He'd been out of the hospital a couple of weeks. She's daddy's little girl, that's all.
Is she still that way?
No, her father's been dead 30 years. Wow.
All right, what we're asking is, does she still pine away for her father?
No, she doesn't. Excuse me for a minute.
Dad, your voice cracked.
Do you think? Let me have a sip of that. Give me that.
I want him.
Give him the Bartles and James. You're not drinking that stuff.
Wow.
All right, General, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to answer your question. No, she doesn't. She's all grown up.
Okay, great. Glad to hear that your wife is not pining away for... And I'm sorry to hear about her father. And you went to Greece by yourself. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So is this going to be the cause of all kinds of jokes tonight?
Well, we're just saying, General, and it's none of my business, and it's none of Phil's.
Well, you got that right.
All right, but you went to Greece by yourself is something that is going to come up. It'll come up on a resume. It comes up. I don't know if you're in line for any government appointment.
No, I don't know. What are you talking about?
She's being silly.
No, I am not being silly. No, I am not.
Well, yes.
What are you talking about? It's going to come up on a resume for a government. He went to Greece solo. Well, and you're telling me that there's going to be Congress people asking him about that?
You have a moment, Sammy. Some of those hearings they have when they're going to appoint a guy on a government position or something?
Yeah.
Man, they're bad.
Yeah, they rip a guy a new one.
So some cat on a congressional committee is going to say, and General, I understand you went to Greece by yourself.
Well, go ahead and laugh it up, friend.
Well, I'm defending you. What are you talking about?
I don't care if I don't get a governmental appointment. Doesn't matter to me.
Well, I hope not, and I hope no reporters come sniffing around.
Say, what are you getting at anyway?
She's saying, in her warped mind, that you going to Greece by yourself is somehow scandalous.
Well, in my opinion, my warped mind, boy, you got some guts there, Phil, with my reputation. You got some guts.
What are you talking about? I said that you got it. I disagree with you.
You said I have a warped mind.
Yeah, get toughen up a little bit here, folks. It's talk radio. Come on. All right, coming back, we've got Justin McElroy. He is a high school... young man is a high school senior and as well as a member of his city of his student council, I should say, not his city council, his student council. He is going to be on with us to talk a little bit about this sexiest man alive poll in People magazine, won by Adam Levine, and some other issues that are important to our young people and all of us. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back.
What is this?
Excuse me, I haven't introed the hour yet. God.
Well, you know, she's asking for me because it frightened me.
It's the Who. And don't start in with, you know, who. Anyway, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show is what it is. Our number, 855-500-7445. Don't jump in like that, Margaret.
I apologize.
Well, now, wait a minute. Could I...
Hold on, General. And we have Justin McElroy hanging on the line. He's going to be talking with us here. He said that he wanted to talk about Rob Ford. I thought it was about...
Yeah, we talked about Adam Levine. He thought that was... Well, I shouldn't say, but he said, nah, it's gay. And
okay, we're going to have to break the habit here of that whole, it's gay, okay? Let's... Something... Lame is a good word. How about that?
No, yeah, okay.
So he didn't want to talk about Adam Levine.
Oh.
Well, excuse me, but what about that whole do 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 do?
It's a song. It's bumper music.
All right. I apologize. I was startled by it. And...
You need to get a napkin?
A napkin for what?
You spilled it right down the front.
Holy God. Look at that.
Oh, General, you spilled the entire bottle. Is the entire bottle empty?
Let me see. Yep.
I'll get you another one.
All right. And could you also... I think I spilled some into this box of Nilla wafers, and they'll get soggy.
Okay. Can we... You know, is the General getting settled?
Well, just trying to help the General.
Yes, Phil, we're helping out the General.
Well, isn't that nice?
Well, look at... Oh, yeah, he's all jealous because he's not getting any love. Is that it?
No, it's not... No, that ain't it, General. I gotta get going with the show.
All I did... You're the one that played the whole do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I didn't do that.
Right, that's my bumper music, and if it startles you... Then we're going to have to, I don't know, maybe, do you want me to warn you?
Yeah, I would appreciate that very much if you'd warn me up and say, General, I'm about to, what does he call it?
It's called bumper music.
Yeah, I would appreciate if you say, General, the bumper music is going to be startling and jarring. And if you need to steady yourself, all I wanted to do was grab a hold of the side of the chair and steady myself when it came on.
Okay, I will do that.
Well, look at him shaking his head.
Phil, quit acting like you're better than everyone.
Oh, get out of here, will you, with the bars. Did you get the,
Yeah, I need another Bartles and James and another box of Nilla wafers.
Well, we're down to about 7 or 8 now.
Wait, hold on. What are we doing around here?
Doing what?
How many boxes of Nilla wafers are we buying?
We got 2 cases.
2 cases of vanilla wafers for General Shaw?
Yeah, that's who he likes.
What's it to you?
And how much Bartles and James? I don't even want to know this.
About 3 cases.
Well, we've got to stock up for the week.
We got 3 cases of Bartles and James wine coolers, and we've got 2 boxes.
No, two crates.
We got a crate. The guy from the Vons came over and just crated one.
Yeah, the tractor trailer.
So the Teamsters came over, instead of just dropping it off at the grocery store, they went ahead and dropped a crate here of vanilla wafers.
Yes.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing, I guess, you know.
You know, if you want, I'll pay for it. Is that your problem, Phil? Are you a little short on cash? Is that it?
No, that's got nothing to do with it. I didn't know that we were loading up on the vanilla wafers. I didn't know you were eating that many.
I'm not eating that many, but I want to know I have a decent reserve of them. Now, let me tell you something. I come from a military.
Hold on. I can't listen to it now, General.
All right.
I've got to get to Justin McElroy's on the line from Canyon High School in northern L.A. County. And, Justin, we appreciate you being on the show with us. Justin is a senior up there. He is a member of the student prefecture. Is that right, Justin?
Yes, sir.
And is that the student council?
Student council is similar to a prefecture. The prefecture interacts more with... I'm not really, to be honest with you, exactly sure, but I think it's more... we do have a religious component. Everyone on it is a Christian. Even though we're a public high school, but it's all... It's voluntary, and I don't know, maybe we'll get in trouble for it, but...
Do you have a student council?
We have a student council. I'm also on that.
And what do you do on the student council?
I'm student body president.
And you're also the president of your student prefecture?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we're gonna shift away from Adam Levine.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to. I wanted to talk about Rob Ford only because I felt that it was important. Not because anybody that I know from my school has ever seen his reality show, unless if you've seen it, Mr. Henry, or not.
No, I have not. Margaret, have you?
No, I haven't seen that.
I don't think anybody here has seen it. It was not on for very long. It may be a reality show that's only seen in Canada.
That could be. But I was really interested in knowing that when they said he had a reality show, and then they said that they were going to take it off, I didn't even know that he had one. But he lost the reality show because of the problems that he apparently is having up in Canada. And I don't understand that. One of the things is, if a guy...
This is the Sun News Network, by the way. The Sun News Network, which I'm not familiar with. Is it a Canadian network?
It may just be in Canada. I don't know why they would market a reality show with this man.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when a man like Mayor Ford is under the pressure that he's under... And he begins to show, I guess you could say, the signs of the stress. That is a possibility of an entertaining show. And for my generation, when we look at the kinds of TV that we enjoy, we do like to see reality show, but we want to see ones that are decent and are not all about, you know, the Kardashians or something like that. And by decent, I mean, like, when they had on the Osborne was real and was on the edge, and a lot of my friends watched Osborne to see if he would, each day come out of the bedroom, or they would have paramedics or something, because that is the interesting part of it. And in my communication class...
All right, just to be clear here, are you saying that you wanted the Rob Ford show to stay on because he may have a heart attack and die, or...
I'm just saying that reality show is reality show, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Right.
And I think that we have to begin to treat the viewer, especially people like myself and a lot of my friends who want to see a reality show that is actually reality and is not... a script and everything. I take a communications class, and they tell us all about how to produce TV shows. And I said to our student advisor, Mr. Yearling, well, are we going to be able to do reality shows? And he said, yeah, you know, what do you have in mind? And I said, I want to follow around a person, find out how old they are, and follow a really old person around until they die. And he was angry at me.
Oh, come on.
What do you want to do?
Well,
all right, hold on. You want to follow an old person around until they die?
Oh, yes, sir.
And why is that?
Because no one's ever done that. I mean, if you think about...
They had the thing about the bridge where they committed suicide.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about... Look, I'm not doing it because I want to be... I'm doing it because that's life, you know? And I don't want to see an accident, and I don't want... And
but what about just go to a hospital and film a guy laying in a bed?
Well, what's good about that, you know?
Well, I don't know that that's even the answer either, bud.
Well, I mean, get an old person.
Well, yeah, right. So I'm going to go to a hospital and look at an old guy with a camera and go, is he dead yet? I won't even know. What if he's sleeping?
Well, like if he have a heart monitor. Yeah, if they have a heart monitor on him.
What, man? That.
Okay, hold on for a minute, because I don't really know that you guys are. I don't think we're getting anywhere with the conversation going this way. Hold the line there. Justin McElroy, who is talking about the canceling of the Rob Ford reality show. Nobody saw the show, at least down here in the States, I don't think. But the larger issue for him is that their reality shows suck. And when you get one where you have the possibility of reality, why pull it off the air, you know? World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Watch every show online on Phil TV and HD, as well as hear our daily podcast, as well as hear our classic podcast, the Bobby Dooley podcast, like that. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Didn't talk about that.
No, you guys are idiots. World famous Phil Hendry Show and Justin McElroy from L.A. Canyon High School on the line with us. And we also have with us, a couple of callers. Right now we're discussing the cancellation of a reality show. And I guess what we're not talking about here is we're not talking about a reality show that anybody has really seen. We're talking about a reality show that only people in... I shouldn't say anybody's really seen. We're talking about a reality show that I think was only going to air in Canada, and they only had one episode of that. Now, we're talking to a high school senior here, which, and I thought we were going to talk about the Grammys, but you wanted to talk about this because you're taking a communications class.
Well, yeah, and my feeling was, and I feel strongly about it, is that if you have a reality show that is reality, it's way better, and they don't have those anymore. They have shows that...
What do you mean they don't have those anymore, Justin?
I'm saying that they don't have no reality... They don't have no reality shows anymore. Everyone already knows what they're going to say, and they already know what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's like they have a script, but they don't.
That's true.
All right, okay, I understand that. So...
Well, no, I don't understand that. What are you saying?
What am I saying? I'm saying,
Margaret, you know that what he's saying is true, that these reality shows are simply non-professional actors improvising something that they've already decided on.
I think it is very untoward, especially for you, Phil, to be giving away secrets.
It's not a secret, ma'am. I mean,
Excuse me, I'll talk to you in a moment. Giving away...
Oh, get up. Margaret, I'm not giving away anything. People watch those shows...
People think they're reality shows. Reality.
Ma'am, no one's fool. I know they're not reality.
When did you find out?
Why, what do you mean, when did I find out? All you gotta do is look at it.
Yeah, you gotta do is look at it. It looks so cheap.
I beg your pardon. My husband produces a couple of those shows.
Well, I guess that Frank, what shows are they?
I'd rather not say.
Why don't you want to say?
Because I'd rather not say. I don't think it's anything that he wants me to broadcast. I think some of the content probably is disturbing, and Frank doesn't want it to get out that he's associated with the show.
Well, all right, but let me ask you this. Is it a real reality show?
I would rather not comment.
Well, I mean, you don't want to say whether it's reality or not?
I'd rather not comment.
Well, I mean, that's a jip because...
It's a what?
It's a jip because, people should be watching reality. And all I'm saying is, with Rob Ford, you had a chance to see a guy who has a crack cocaine problem, and that's sad, and that's very and that's a tragedy that I'm sure we share in saying is bad and everything. And I'm sorry about it, but if he's got a crack cocaine problem and also the man seems to be, carrying excess weight.
All right, so all of this adds up in your mind to a heart attack.
Yeah, is that what you're waiting for?
Is that what I'm waiting for? I mean, that guy is walking around all with a big fat butt, and he's doing cocaine. I mean, crack cocaine.
Okay, so he's gonna crack. He's gonna croak, I should say, and die, huh?
Well, be crack and then croak. Yeah, he'll crack up and then croak.
Oh, that's funny.
By the way, he looked as if he was cracking up yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was in the city council meeting.
Yeah, I mean that's reality TV, okay? And I guarantee you, there's no TV show on that is real like that. If you show him running through a city council meeting and running over people like a wild, you know, like a wild thing of the bush, it would be way more, you know, interesting.
Well, you know, if I could jump in here, your name is Justin?
What?
Is your name Justin?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, my name's General Galen Shaw.
Oh, yes, sir.
I understand your point, and I have to agree with the young man to the extent that if you watch a show that's called a reality show, shouldn't you expect it to be reality as opposed to something that it's not? Now, I don't watch any of this. I wouldn't go near it with your eyes. But I can certainly understand...
What does that mean, you won't go near it with my eyes?
Oh, boy.
Mark, are you kidding? He doesn't like the shows.
Yeah.
So, you know,
You know that my husband produces shows like those.
Margaret, with all respect to you, I don't care. Do I look like I care? At my age, does it look like I'm going to give a hot, holy you-know-what?
By the way, when you say you-know-what, I don't know whether you mean damn or the other thing.
I'm talking about what comes out of your...
All right. Okay, y'all done?
I'm just saying I agree with the young man, and if you want a reality, and that guy Rob Ford, now I saw that.
Rob Ford was running after, I believe he was running over to his brother Don or Dan Ford in that city council meeting. He ran into the lady, he didn't mean to run into the lady, he sought to hold her up. I mean, look, whatever his problems are his problems, but I don't think you should attribute to the man things that he didn't do. And,
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, this guy is are you kidding? He's a rockhead and everything.
Yeah, he's a rockhead. Why are you going to defend on that?
I think they're making a good point.
No, they're not making a good point.
Well, why aren't they?
Why would you want to say something about a guy that isn't true? I understand he has problems. I understand the guy is using crack cocaine. I understand he's a mess of a human being, I guess, in a lot of regards. But if he wasn't trying to knock that lady down...
Well, I saw that, Mr. Henry. It looked like he was trying to pancake her.
Yeah, it looked like he was trying to pancake her up against the building.
What building?
The side of the thing.
Yeah, if you look at it, Mr. Henry, he was, like, doing a... Like, I think you said yesterday he was doing a rolling pancake on her. He was just all like, ooh. And if you've ever been the subject of a rolling pancake... You know,
what do you mean the subject of a rolling pancake?
Well, you know, when you get between somebody and then you roll them along a wall.
Yes, has that ever happened to you? Because that happened to me. That happened to me going into one of the fundraisers over here at the Civic Auditorium. I was in line and there was a rush for the door. And some woman, my God, and God knows that I support my sisters, but this fat tub of guts... She pressed me up against a brick wall and had the jutting bricks. And in order for her to facilitate getting to the front so she could get into the door, she rolled along three or four of us, pinning us against these bricks, and one man almost passed out. He couldn't get air. But she's rolling up against these bricks that are sticking out. You understand?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right. And I can tell you it was horrible. I heard a man just, oh, God.
Yeah, you know, Phil, it's not a pretty thing when you get into a pancake like that. And so I think that's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, and anyway...
Hold on for a minute, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm trying to get out of...
The young man's trying to make a point.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I'll be done in a second. So this guy, Rob Ford, he goes chasing... does a rolling pancake job on that one old lady, and she could have very well have been crushed, and you could see her face. She's all like, oh, God, oh, help, you know?
And yeah, she's all shocked and everything.
Yeah, I saw her face. She looked all shocked, and he's like all, you know, like he didn't care or anything.
You guys are seeing a different thing than what I saw.
Well, it's obvious that that's the case, Phil. We're trying to tell you what happened, and you still want to be rooted in whatever hallucination, and I don't mean hallucination, but it's possible that you were seeing things.
What about that?
What about what?
Possible that you seen it?
Yeah, I mean, if you were seeing things, that would explain...
What do you mean, seeing things? Do you guys think I'm psychotic or something?
Phil, you get so over the top, you know, you get so hurt and offended. We're just saying, are you on medication?
Did you?
No. I know what I saw. You guys are crazy, as usual. That man knocked that woman down, grabbed her, and tried to pull her up. Okay? Now, I don't know what you mean by a rolling pancake. I believe you, Margaret, when you say that you got pinned in one at the Santa Monica Civic at a fundraiser. I can't believe that a doll... What do you mean a fundraiser?
It was a fundraiser for a performing arts center. And it was going to be... It was the St. Paul Chamber was traveling, the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. There was an ensemble from the L.A. Philharmonic. And Jack Jones was going to sing.
And there's a fat woman bum-rushing the door...
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, I think you ought to have...
Yeah, you can hear a young man here is asking you to have respect.
So, anyway, that's all I want to say.
What, are you crying?
Well...
Dude, you wanted to hear him.
Well, I want to hear what I have to say.
I want to hear what you got to say, man. I'm just disagreeing to the extent that Rob Ford tried to crush that lady.
Well, I'm just saying, he's a crack cocaine head, and it would have been good, but I guess not, so forget it.
Well, you said, before you go, Justin, you said that you're planning on a reality show.
Yes, I want to hear more about this.
Okay, I can tell you about it.
Wait a minute. This is the one where he wants to follow an old man around until he collapses in the street.
Well, yes, sir, but I don't. I want it to be a natural death.
All right, well, okay. I thought there was something else going on there.
Well, let's talk to you about that in a moment here as we talk to Justin McElroy. So the Rob Ford, this is a young guy who is in a communications class, right?
Yes, I think it's a broadcast class, bud.
Yeah, they got a TV production studio and everything.
Okay, and he's going to tell us about a show that he... But I'm telling you right now, you guys are out of your minds. I saw that tape.
No, I'm saying, all I'm saying... You know,
no, hold on for a minute. You guys are out of your minds. I saw him running. I saw him run into the lady by accident. He probably shouldn't have been running, if you want to blame him for anything, but I don't know what he was running to.
Well, you said he's trying to save his brother, and who knows? His brother may have been the victim of some kind of a pancaking. I don't know.
Well, there wouldn't be a pancaking, not at that level, except for Rob Ford.
Yeah.
No, not at that level.
Phil, it's a city council meeting in the city of Toronto.
Yeah?
But he doesn't get it.
Oh, yeah, okay. We're going to take a break. I'm going to set some people straight here during this break, folks. Let me just tell you what. He doesn't get it. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. And, don't forget, folks, our Saturday bonus show is now available for download. Hey, welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show, and Justin McElroy with us from Canyon, L.A. Canyon High. Now, I have I've got a message here, Bobby Dooley, coming on it in the next hour.
Well, she wanted to address... having to do with what she calls fake teeth.
Yeah.
What are fake teeth?
I guess they're teeth that are fake. I don't know. They are the ones that you can buy. Bud, you know about this.
Yeah, you get these teeth at a drugstore and stick them in your mouth, and they look like you got white, straight teeth.
Okay. Excuse me. What?
Well, she wants to... I'm belching, too. When you belch, I belch. That's like Charles Durning. When I get it, you'll get it.
Yeah.
Anyway... She wants to address that because there is a member of her homeowners association or the parent-teacher organization that apparently is now walking everywhere with a big, what she calls, crap-eating grin. She's saying it's all, you know. And she's saying that the woman is telegraphing the fact that she's wearing fake teeth.
Yeah, because she's all, you know.
And, okay, never mind. I know better than to ask, and why does she want to talk about this on the air? Because...
that you know, that's a big, long song and a dance.
All right. 855-500-7445. Justin McElroy joining us for our last segment. Tell us about your reality show project at school, Justin.
Yes, sir. What I wanted, and I talked to, as I said, I talked to Mr. Berlinger, who's our who's our faculty advisor. And... Well, no, he's the student advisor. Our faculty advisor is Terry Gibbon, who's one of our, is a student.
So that you have a faculty advisor who's a student, and you have a student advisor who is the member of the faculty.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does.
What?
Well, yeah, it makes sense.
Well, why would you have...
It makes sense, okay? Can we agree?
Well, I'm a little befuddled, too. In fact, I just spilt more Bartles and James on me. I don't know if anyone cares.
Yeah, I care, General, but I'm not going to have him explain it, okay? Go ahead.
Well, the reason why they have a...
Don't worry about explaining that.
You need a rag, General?
If you could get me one of those Bounty towels. Now, I don't want the other kind, and I'm not trying to do a commercial, but I need something that's going to absorb, for God's sake. I need it absorbent, and I need it now. Those two things.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Phil. Carry on.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Justin.
About what?
About your reality show.
I thought he was going to... Never mind.
Yeah, the reality show is this. And I asked Mr. Berlinger about it, who's the student advisor, because Terry Gibbon is actually, is how you pronounce it. And
okay.
Well, now you're laughing.
What are you laughing at?
I don't know. I just... Okay, so Terry Gibbon?
Yeah, that's the kid who's the... he advises the faculty on stuff that kids want to do.
And the faculty advisor advises the kids on...
On what the faculty wants to do. And hopefully they'll match up somewhere. I mean, it's not really going to, but...
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I said to Mr. Berlinger...
Who's the student advisor.
Yes, sir. I said to him, you know, we want to follow around an old person and watch them as they... And I probably put it the wrong way. I said, and in the presentational paper that I gave them, I said, we want to have a crew of students follow an old person and watch him decay and eventually decay and drop. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's life and death. We don't want to do anything to him. We just want to follow him around as he collapses. And so they're taking it up with the faculty advisors, or I mean the student advisors. The faculty advisors are the students.
Right, right, I got that part.
Okay, and we really hope that they will. And I said, look at the Rob Ford one, and also look at the Osborne. When Osborne was on, everybody waited for him to collapse, and that's why everyone wanted to watch it.
Do you think that's why people watch the Osbournes?
I do. I don't think it's to see him collapse. I think Ozzy was the star, you know?
What about, like, what about Kelly?
Kelly and Jack and even Sharon, all of those people came along. I mean, I believe that Kelly and Sharon and Jack were manufactured stars in a lot of ways. No one, you know, I really do. I think maybe some people really dig on Sharon as a woman, but...
What's that mean, as a woman?
I mean, as a host, you know, maybe I think that they were manufactured. The show tried to push those guys out front because maybe they thought they were losing traction with Ozzy. But the only thing that was entertaining for me was watching Ozzy.
Well, then, so you agree that the pull, the hook, as they say in show business, is to watch this poor man stagger about the kitchen, put his hand in a microwave, do things that are terribly devastating to a family and to an individual, and you'd find that... Yeah, that's how you'd get your thrills on a Friday night. Is that it?
No, that's not how I get my... No, that is not.
Well, that's what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying I watched Ozzy because he was the star of the show. I don't know whether some people watched to see him collapse or stick his hand in a microwave. I'd love to see him do that. I mean, what's that about?
What are you talking about?
How do you close the door?
Oh, that's a good one, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, big deal.
Okay, so anyway, Jack... Justin, go ahead.
Were you going to call me Jack Osborne?
No, go ahead.
Because I would think that's a compliment.
Okay, Jack, go ahead.
Oh, thanks. That's the fat kid, right?
Yeah. Okay, you're not Jack now, you're Justin.
Thank you, I forgot what it was. Mr. Berlinger said, well, that's kind of ghoulish, you know, it's ghoulish to follow an old man around with a camera. And he said, how much time do you think it would take? And I go, I don't know, you know, but we're going to look. We'll do research on some old guy that's ready to go, and we'll get the camera out there and everything like that.
Well, I find that to be ghoulish. I find that to be insulting. I understand the pull. I understand the drama. And I even understand that it might get people to watch. But I think that is just terrible to follow an old man.
I do, too. Waiting for him to drop? What do you think, General?
Well, you're asking me why? Because you're waiting for me to decay and drop? Because, friend, I can tell you something. Ain't gonna happen.
Well, I mean, you're gonna die sometime.
Did you bring this kid on because I'm gonna make for fodder for this show?
I mean, I'm not saying that, but don't you think you'd rot?
What do you mean, don't I think I'd rot?
Well, I'm saying, you know...
It's not called rotting. You're talking about dying?
Well, yeah, I'm asking the general, does he think he's so special that he won't, you know, he won't rot away and then croak one day?
You don't rot when you're still alive, young man. That happens after you die.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, don't you think you'll collapse?
I think that I will die. I do not think I will collapse. I think I will die with dignity, in a bed. I don't know.
Okay, in a bed, yeah, and?
In a bed.
With your family around you.
Yes, with my... Can we talk about something else? Because this is beginning to really tee me off. This young man's got me thinking now that I'm going to, on my way to my house from the garage, collapse and lay there for weeks.
Well, I mean, someone will find you, right?
Yes, eventually.
You live with your wife. All right, we got to go. Thank you very much, Justin McElroy. Thank you, General. Thank you, everybody. Bobby Dooley coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. She's going to be talking about these fake teeth that you buy. I don't know what that's all about. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. We've got podcasts of this show available tomorrow, as well as our classic podcast daily, every day. Call her up now. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, or as we like to call it, the world of Phil Henry. And what do you think of that?
That's fine. I don't know what's meant by that.
Yeah, it sounds like you're all like a big shot or something.
Well, maybe I am a big shot. Maybe in your world I'm a big shot, but that's what we're calling it.
Yeah, we call it the world of Bud Dickman.
You just said his world.
All right, well, it's my world now, okay? My world and...
Yeah, your world. We're just working here.
Right. The world of Phil Henry. we're going to be speaking with Bobby Dooley here, who has been very busy with a couple of things. She has the podcast that is appearing on our website, as well as SoundCloud, as well as the Sideshow Network, as well as, we're approaching 300,000 downloads now of the Bobby Dooley podcast per month. And we also have another sort of Bobby presentation she's going to be doing. What?
Well, what are you... You're always saying I shouldn't belch, and you've been sitting there going... You know?
Yeah, you're all stuffing it, Mr. Henry, going...
Well, we don't have to bring that up now, do we?
Yes, but I notice, Phil, that you are constantly on Margaret's case about the fact that she erupts, that she lets one go. What are you looking at me for?
I just wanted to make sure you weren't spilling any Bartles and James or vanilla wafers.
Don't be such a smartass and address the situation of you belching.
You know what? No, I won't. I was fine. At least I'm not letting it rip like she does. Okay. And anyway, Bobby is going to be... Oh, look at everybody looking disappointed now.
Well, you should have addressed the situation.
That's what I feel.
Okay, well, I'm not going to address the situation.
Just like that. Boy, what a dictator. You know, you...
She said dictator.
So? What do you mean a dictator?
You know, you would have given Adolf Hitler a run for his money.
Hey.
Oh, well. What an obscene thing to say, considering what that man really did.
I'm being what I'm being, all right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that should be enough.
Fine. All right, so I won't even ask. Bobby Dooley is with us. She's going to be doing her own hour of presentational radio, beginning, I think, later on this week, here on the Phil Henry Show. And she's joining us now from the Western States Homeowners Association, where there has been an issue regarding... some sort of a cosmetic issue. Now, I understand, Ms. Dooley, that's important for you, as well as it is for members of the Homeowners Association there, to maintain a certain public image. Is that correct?
Well, yes. I don't think that comes as any surprise.
No, you're right about that. But the image that you guys want to maintain, the public image that you want to maintain, is one that extends to your residents. And are you outside?
We are, right now, we're overseeing the demolition of one of the security walls here in the back of the property, Phil. Is it disturbing?
No. I can hear some heavy equipment. You're out there late, huh?
Well, this is going to be a 24/7 job because we want to make sure that this wall... What happened was we had a very unfortunate situation where one of the younger people, one of the younger residents, ran through the wall, and he's all right, thank God, knock wood. But he ran through the wall in his father's BMW, Steve?
Yeah, BMW is Bill Bartenhard.
Bill Bartenhard and his son Ian.
So the boy's all right?
The boy's all right, I think. When we ask the question, is the child all right, Yes, he's all right. But I think that there comes a time when you stop asking, is the child all right, and you start asking, well, what about a $80,000 car? What about, a wall?
Well, but the $80,000 car can be replaced.
But there's a lesson to be learned.
I agree with Bobby. There is a lesson here. Has the lesson been learned?
I don't know. I called and I spoke with Bill and I said, so how's it going? And he got very rude with me and said it was none of my business. And I said to him, Bill, we've been through this before. Yes, it is. I want to know what steps you've taken with that boy. And he hung the phone up on me. So we're having a council meeting on that tomorrow.
You know, I just think the way you run that homeowners association is very intrusive.
You know something, Margaret, I get it already. Your complaint has been lodged. I've heard it a million times. I'm going to do what I got to do, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to do what we got to do, maintain the HOA.
Exactly. To quote, Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa, I'm going to do what I got to do to hold on to the HOA.
What is that? It's a quote of, it was Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa. It's one of the great film quotes of all time.
What did he say?
Do you want me to repeat it?
No, I don't. I want... What did he say?
Who, me?
No, Nicholson.
Nicholson didn't say it. Jimmy Hoffa said it.
Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, he said, I'm going to do what I got to do to get the union back.
Yes, that's exactly right. Danny DeVito directed it. I ran into Danny, by the way, the other day in Santa Monica. I don't know if I told you, Phil.
No, you didn't.
Well... I don't think I'm talking out of school, Danny, but he was hitting on Heidi Klum. I had seen her, and I was chatting with Heidi, and I said, so what are you going to do now, and what, where do you see yourself fitting in out here? I said, you're tall, you're beautiful, but, and I said to her, I said, Heidi, I love you, you know I've always loved you, but you're essentially talentless.
You didn't say that to her.
Yes, I most certainly did. She appreciates it from me. I said, you don't have any real reason for being on this planet other than the fact that you've got those gorgeous legs, you know.
You're kidding, I don't, right?
Well, I was partially kidding. Anyway, Danny DeVito rolls in. I said, hi, Danny. I said, watch this, because I knew what he was going to do. He started hitting on her.
Wow, I mean, you got some pretty heavy friends there, Margaret.
Oh, yeah. Where were you, over at Bernie Gelson's?
Yes, I was coming out of the Gelson's there
Beverly Hills?
Yes, Beverly Hills, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Danny, and I know Danny, Danny is Danny. He's always going to be Danny. He'll never be anything more than Danny.
Not at that size, he won't be.
Okay, funny. Can we get back to what we're talking about?
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the, whatever it was you're talking about.
Oh, the fake teeth, yeah.
Yes, can I just, as a way of leading in, who's the young lady?
She is a one of our younger Circle of Taste gals. She's not in the Circle of Taste. If she was in the Circle of Taste, then we'd give her a flyer. But she is just a resident. I think she did apply to be a gal pal.
What is her name?
Look, do you want me giving out names?
No, just a first name.
Oh, okay. Her name is Tina Fleishing Brown.
I said just a first...
Well, Phil, you said you wanted the name.
First name, I said.
First name.
Phil, I can't...
You know what? Maybe I should just do the show solo.
Okay, all right, honey. I mean, if you want to be a baby about it...
You understand, you want to be a baby.
So, in other words, you're going to take your football and you're going to go home. Is that the way that this game is going to be played, Mr. Henry?
No, I'm just asking you to please hear what it is you're asking me, and when I give you the answer, go, oh, that's right, that's what we did say to Phil, so...
Whatever, Phil, I don't know.
Yeah, just ignore him.
Yeah, ignore me.
Okay, well, here's what I'm saying. Tina Fleishing Brown is a gal pal, I believe, which is the first level of the four levels. Actually, there's three levels to become a member of the Circle of Taste.
Now, what are those? What are those levels?
Well, they are gal pal, hostess, and then runway model. And once you achieve runway model, you get the lower rocker panel on your pink button leather jacket.
The lower rocker panel?
Yes. Oh, God.
Phil, you've seen the rocker panels?
Yeah, on like 1% or motorcycle clubs. Are you kidding?
I said we like the outlaw chic. Okay?
All right.
Where was I?
The runway model.
The runway model earns the lower rocker panel, and then, once she becomes a member of the Circle of Taste, she gets the upper rocker panel, and it says, the Circle of. So you only have a of taste if you're a runway model, and that's been misinterpreted by a lot of guys. You know, when our runway models are out there, the guys go, ooh, what do you taste like? That kind of nonsense. But
all right. We'll get back here with Bobby Dooley in a moment.
Well, if you're bored, Phil, I can conduct the interview.
No, I want to get to the whole thing about her friend. So, Bud?
Yeah, I'll tell Ms. Dooley, you got to get to the whole thing about your friend. What? Hello? Hello? She put me on hold.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back with Bobby Dooley as we continue discussing with her this the situation having to do... I believe the situation having to do with her, the girl there, the lady there, wearing those fake teeth, which are those, what is that company, Invisalign?
Well, Invisalign's one of them, yes.
And you put them up there, okay. We'll be right back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us from the Western States Homeowners Association talking about a cosmetic problem. I don't know what you call it, Bobby, when you have a member of your organization, or she's a prospective member, a gal pal, and she is wearing cosmetic teeth. Now, this is not as bizarre as it sounds. This is a very common product.
Yeah, you can go down to the drugstore and everything, and you can put them on.
Well, that may well be true, whoever that... Was that Bud Dickman?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know that I would use him as a sounding board for anything that's cosmetic, given the fact that his head is not a perfect round shape.
No one's head is, Ms. Dooley, and we don't have to start talking about Bud, all right?
No, I don't want to talk about Bud, but I do take exception to the comment that no one's head is perfectly round. My son Justin's was when he was born.
Yeah, and my son, Jason J. Delmont, babies' heads are round.
Okay, great.
Just for the record, you know.
Yeah, I want to be on the record as well.
Okay, that's terrific.
Phil, when you blow people off like that, then you lose your train of thought because you go, oh, that's terrific. Then you don't know what you're saying.
Well, can I pick it up? I'll pick the narrative up, Margaret. Is that all right?
Go ahead.
No, I'll run the show, thank you. The cosmetic teeth that you don't like this girl, Tina Fleishing Brown, is that her name?
I think that was the name, or something close to it, yes.
All right. Well, you don't know her name. She's in your gal pal tier.
Yes, she is a gal pal, which is the opening tier of our Circle of Taste.
All right. She went to the store, I guess, and...
Yeah, well, what she did was she had... When they first moved in here, she had noticeably... crooked and discolored teeth. And, of course, I had already earmarked her for non-consideration for the Circle of Taste. They're very nice people, and we certainly do enjoy having them here. But I can't have that in the Circle of Taste.
Because of the crookedness?
Well, yeah, the teeth were crooked, and they had some cigarette staining. At that time, Steve?
Yeah, at that time, Bobby then did, she did then did, do, did, she did then do... Dooley, not Dooley as in D-O-O-L-E-Y.
Dooley as in D-U.
Yeah, Dooley as in D-U-L-Y. She then did, at that time, then Dooley ruled that Tina Fleishing Brown could not be considered for admittance to the Circle of Taste or any of the three rungs because her teeth, and I had scribbled down them, were jacked up. I should have probably written...
The fact that the teeth were off and...
Okay, so this lady, and forgive me, Ms. Dooley, I'm sure you've heard this criticism before. I think you've heard it on our show. Your organization sounds extremely shallow.
Here we go. This is great.
Well, Phil, I think I agree with Phil. You people sound...
Excuse me, you people? I'm not black.
I understand you're not black, but I agree with Phil that I believe you people, and I'll say that again. Excuse me, I haven't finished talking, young lady. And when I'm finished talking, then it will be by your leave to then talk.
By your what?
Just let him finish.
I agree with Mr. Hendry that your organization sounds like a very shallow group of women who put a higher value on the teeth and whether they're straight as opposed to the nicotine, as opposed to other factors. Now, some of the finest people I've known in my life and people that I would go to my grave defending, people who've been great for this country. Do you know that General George Patton had the most foul, black, ugly teeth you've ever seen in your life? Did you know that, young lady?
I don't know who he is, but I'm willing to believe that he's a great American.
He was one of the greatest generals, one of the greatest combat generals this country has ever had.
Was it in the Revolution War?
Get a load of that. He was in World War II.
Well.
And my wife, Caroline, who I love as dearly as any man can love a woman, her teeth are almost coal black, and yet I love her to pieces.
You're kidding.
The fact that I love her?
No, the coal black.
Oh, yeah. It runs in her family. Believe me, she visits the dentist at least twice a month and uses the... I went and I got her that Crest toothpaste, you know, they say the American Dental Association.
Well, yeah, they've had that stuff for a long time.
Well, excuse me, I wasn't on board.
Oh, her teeth are black, though, huh?
Yes, I guess she doesn't get into the circle of taste, does she?
Well, if she's related to a prominent individual such as yourself, General, then we can certainly...
No, I don't think she'll be interested, thank you. The point that I... excuse me, that's Margaret who did that.
No, you did it.
Well, she gave me the... she gave... right there, see?
I gave him the high sign.
Are you done, General? Because I want to...
Yes, go ahead.
All right, Bobby, continue.
All right. Well, anyway, Tina Freuchinger, and those are very interesting stories and anecdotes, General. I do appreciate. General who?
I'm General Shaw.
No. The man who had the jacked up teeth.
General George Patton.
Steve, did you know that?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know about him having the crapped out teeth, but I did know he's one of the great generals there's ever been.
Okay, so now we know General Patton was a great man and he had lousy teeth. So your friend or your gal pal there, Tina Freuching Brown, has bad teeth.
Well, she did. And she went and unbeknownst to myself and unbeknownst to the other women in the Circle of Taste Membership Council, that is the inner chamber, she went out and she bought some of those teeth that fit onto your regular teeth that you can purchase. Invisalign is one of the companies. I don't think they were the Invisalign teeth. I think it was, Steve?
Yeah, white and bright.
White and bright. But you fit them up into your regular teeth so they cover up how destroyed your real teeth are, and you have these beautiful white teeth. Well, I never would have known. I thought she'd gone in for dental work and had what we recommend in the Circle of Taste and the lower rungs runway model. We recommend that you have all of the upper teeth taken out so that only metal posts are visible, and then put in the new capped teeth or the new teeth. In other words, we do recommend
pretty much recommend to have the entire, all the teeth torn out.
We don't use the word torn out, but...
Well, you do have to have those teeth eventually demolished and removed, and for a period there are nothing but metal posts.
That is correct, yes. But we think it's good for our gals to walk around smiling with metal posts, because the look of horror that other people have teaches them what it's like to walk around with a jacked over... What happened, Steve?
I'm
Why are you crying?
I just...
You're thinking about what?
About
this. Yeah, it caused Steve to cry. He was thinking about women smiling with nothing. I'm sorry.
Well, you are emotional?
Yes.
Look, so when you have that kind of work done, you have nothing but metal posts in your mouth until the doctor puts in the new teeth.
Right, but what we recommend for our gal pals, runway models, etc., is that you walk around for a period of 48 hours with nothing but the metal posts, so that when you smile, there is a look of terror on people that see it, and you know what it's like. To, what did you say, Steve?
Yeah, show a grill, have the grill of horror.
To have a grill of horror.
Now, why do you feel that's necessary? Why?
Because I think it lets our gals know the other side of the coin. You know, there but for the grace of God, go I.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Wow. All right. So, did you think that she'd had this work done?
We thought she'd had the work done because she was only a gal pal, and we only require that you have the grill of horror if you are a runway model or a hostess.
All right, so that's the upper three?
No, the upper two. The top one is circle of taste.
All right.
It's sort of like football leagues in England.
Right, okay, so I understand that. We're going to get back here with Bobby Dooley and find out the upshot of the young lady from the Gal Pals.
Yes, Tina Freushing-Brown is a gal pal. She went and got these fake teeth that the Invisalign style, only these were white and bright, and put them on, and Bobby discovered this. If it hadn't been for Bobby, they would have thought she'd gone out and actually had the real work done. They did not require her to walk around with the grill of horror because she was only a gal. What are you doing, Phil?
I'm trying to imagine the grill of horror.
Well, she was only a gal pal.
All right. We'll be right back here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley as they talk about, do any of you out there wear these fake teeth? They're not fake teeth, but it's kind of like, what do you call it?
Well, I don't know what it is. I think it's terribly deceptive and horrific.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way, you know. I mean, it's they're a kind of a cosmetic teeth that you put on, and then you look like, you know, you've got nice teeth. So we'll be back with more of that here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some Phil stuff. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. And the U.S. serial killer Joseph Franklin, the white supremacist serial killer, convicted of murdering one man and wounding two others at a synagogue in 1977. He's also convicted of a series of other racially motivated murders. He has confessed to being the sniper who shot porn publisher Larry Flint. This guy has been granted a stay of execution because of a new drug that they use in the execution process. And so he, the big brave... white supremacist murderer, he gets to, you know, live another day because the drug they use might be kind of, you know, maybe it's going to scare him a little too much and hurt him or whatever the hell his problem is. So we'll talk about this after the top of the hour. I got some other news to get to.
Well, you really like to just live dangerously, don't you?
Why is that?
Well, I mean,
you know, Mr. Henry, those are some pretty heavy people.
Oh, come on, will you, man? This guy's been on death row since God knows 30-plus years. They probably, who knows if they even remember who this guy is or care, and if they do, whatever. I mean, the guy is on the outside of any mainstream you want to talk about. He's a murderer. He's a freak. And I'm a big believer in the death penalty. I'm sorry. Big believer in the death penalty here. Not because it is just punishment. Not because it's a deterrent. Not because... I believe because it is a safety issue. Having animals like this alive is dangerous. I don't give a damn if they're in prison. Doesn't make any difference to me. Having them alive is dangerous. It's dangerous wherever they are. Wherever they are. They could kill another inmate. They could kill a guard. They could get out. they could be granted some manna from heaven. A miracle can occur, and some dumbass parole board somewhere is going to give them, the right to walk the streets again. I think these pieces of garbage ought to be put to death. I always have, and I always will. And I realize that I'm against the trend, and everybody in America is gradually, slowly but surely. But you know, when you read up on what some of these people have done, to stand outside of a prison and protest their execution, when you read of the murders they committed, you know, I tell you what, I don't know how you can do it. I couldn't. You're better people than me.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Phil, too. I've been outside of many prisons protesting the death penalty because it's wrong.
I know, but have you ever looked into the actual crimes that were committed by the scum that was being put to death?
And I don't like the word scum.
Have you ever looked into the crimes?
And I don't like being yelled at. Now, I'm belching as a form of protest. There you are drumming your fingers, too. You're screwing up every which way. If you want to have a dialogue with me...
Have you ever... You remember that guy, Oba Chandler?
That was the man they put to death in Florida. Yes, I was down there protesting that.
Yeah. Did you know what he did?
He committed a murder.
Committed a murder? He murdered a mother and her two daughters. Or a mother and her three daughters. You want to know how?
I don't care to hear how, no.
You just went down there and protested when they put that guy to death, but as far as you were concerned, he only killed one person.
It's the punishment that's bad. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, Phil, if I could say something.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Angels on Our Shoulders is our anti-death penalty organization, and the death penalty is really the target. When you try to tell us what it was that these murderers did, you're trying to influence our decision to go to the prisons and to protest in a way that is dignified and has dignity. And you're trying to undignify it by...
Yes, you're trying to undignify it by mixing in what they did.
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to do that.
Let's see how sarcastic you are.
That's what he does, though. He's very sarcastic.
Okay. Well, then I won't tell you what Oba Chandler did, but you look it up someday, okay?
No, I don't think I will.
Oh, well, all right. You don't have to. You go ahead and do whatever you got to do. But it was a mother, and it was three daughters, and you look it up someday if you...
She already said she's not going to.
What about you, Ms. Dooley?
I am very busy.
You're too busy to look up and see what...
Phil, give your speeches somewhere else, all right? I feel very firm about this.
General?
What's that?
Never mind.
I'm sorry. I was enjoying the Nilla wafer because Bud gave me the banana pudding. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, I've had banana pudding.
Am I interrupting something?
Yeah, I'm doing a show.
All right, I'm sorry. What were you asking?
I was asking about... Never mind.
You were asking about... Never mind.
Like the banana pudding, Gerald?
I think the banana pudding with the vanilla wafer, someone really ought to publicize this.
Yeah, they do, General. It's on the side of the vanilla wafer box.
Well, I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
So you're saying someone has?
Yeah. Banana pudding and vanilla wafers has been huge for years. It's right there on the box, and...
So you're calling me a dumbass?
Pretty much, yeah.
No, I'm not calling you a dumbass. I'm just saying that
vanilla?
All right, Bobby, let's get back to discussions here before we run out of time this hour on Tina Freushing Brown. She went out and got these teeth, and she didn't have her teeth torn out like you recommend and walk around for 2 days.
Oh, my God.
That was gross.
I'm sorry.
God, I'm hearing this. She didn't walk around for two, and then I heard, "Aah!" What was that?
I just started laughing.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the idea of the grill of horror. Are you kidding?
No, we are not kidding, Mr. Henry. And it is the grill of horror. If you have your teeth removed one at a time, and all that's left are the metal posts upon which will be put eventually the new bridge work, and you smile... and there may be some residual bleeding of the gums, it can put the fear of hell into any United States Marine, any man who has endured and survived a war. That's how utterly horrific and inspiring of sheer terror it is. And yet, we feel that it's good for the girls because it reminds them of what they could have been had they been born into a different house, you know?
Yeah, with different parents.
Boy, that's even worse because...
Do we have to talk about this? I mean...
All right, I'm sorry.
Phil likes to get into dig into it. We don't have time.
I'll decide whether we have time. And you saying that, aren't you lucky you were born into a different family, that pretty much puts the capper on where you're coming from. You have no control over your own life. You're just lucky to have been born into a family where they can afford to have your teeth ripped out.
Boy, that sounds gruesome.
It's not, General. Mr. Henry's...
Yeah, Mr. Henry's just making it worse.
Well, Phil, I really feel you are. In any event, if I can finish...
Go on.
Tina had, she went and she had these fake teeth. And someone said to me, did you know that Tina had the fake teeth? So I said, what are you talking about? I thought she went and had the teeth demolished as we recommend. And they said, you didn't know? I said, no, you don't. We don't look at the metal posts and the grill of horror until they are a runway model. And they said, well, you better check some of the joke shops and some of the costume stores.
Yeah, that would be the first place to check.
Are you telling me you thought she went to a costume store to get fake teeth?
That was the first thing I thought, because that she's going to go out and actually buy some of these cosmetic teeth from a pharmacy. I just didn't think she was bright enough. After all, she is a gal pal, and those are not the brightest bulbs in the tree. I went over to Mike's Jokes. I went over to the Hobson Hobby and Art. We went to Mike's Hobby and Art. We went over to Tina's Jokes and More. I said, did you sell anyone fake wax teeth? They said, yes, we sell them all the time. I said, did you sell any fake wax teeth to any gals from Western Estates? And they said, oh, those are the gals, yeah. In general, you can tell they are our gals because they're driving a high-end car.
Uh-huh.
And what does uh-huh mean?
Nothing. I'm following.
In any event, I said, did you sell any wax teeth to a gal in a Mercedes? They said, yes, we did. So I immediately...
Oh, my God. So she did not get them from the pharmacy?
No, she did not. I went over to CVS. I said, did any gal walk in here in a pantsuit, wearing 3-inch heels with a lot of baubles and bangles hanging around her neck, you know, and buy some of the cosmetic teeth? And they said no. So I found out that not only did she not have the grill of horror, she went and bought wax teeth.
Now, how did you know that she was wearing fake teeth other than the obviousness of seeing wax teeth?
Well, she's walking around going, yee. She was smiling too much. She was smiling far beyond how she'd ever smiled before.
But wouldn't you be smiling a lot if you had the grill of horror, even though you hadn't seen that?
Well, I don't know. It was suspiciously short. From the last time I'd seen Tina, when she had really brown and just jacked over teeth. I mean, talk about corn on the cob at arm's length through a chain link fence. This was nuts.
That's generally a good rule of thumb, too.
Well, if you're talking about corn on the cob at arm's length, can I speak?
Go ahead.
If you're talking about corn on the cob at arm's length through a chain link fence, that was what we used in the Army to see whether anyone needed to apply to the orthodontist and get some good government dental care. And we generally did that after any kind of a mission or any kind of a combat operation, because we figured the men who'd survived, they may want to have their teeth straightened, as opposed to going into combat or going out on a mission where you know you could take a rocket to the face, and if nothing else, you don't have a mouth left, you know.
Oh, my God. Well...
Oh. Well, Phil, that's the reality of it. All right, so in any event...
In any event, I said, you're smiling an awful lot, Tina, and she's going, what? And I said, look at you, you're grinning too much, and I reached in right at that moment and pulled on the teeth, and they came, it was like they stretched, you know?
Because they were wax.
Because they were wax, and I go, look at that, and they were stretched and all weird looking, and I go, those are wax teeth. and she started chewing on them and tried to swallow them and said, no, they're not. No, they're not.
All right, we'll be back with more of this fascinating story.
Well, if you don't like the story, Phil.
It's fine. With Bobby Dooley, as she busts one of her gal pals, the lowest rung of a Circle of Taste membership, not even the lower rocker panel that says of taste, and she busts her for wearing wax teeth as opposed to going out and getting very expensive dental work done, which includes the grill of horror. That is when all of your teeth have been, quote, demolished, and all that's left are the metal posts, so that when you smile, you scare people. I don't know. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to hear the end of this ridiculous tale. The Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Just a final few seconds here with Bobby Dooley as we continue. What happened there? Oh, did just all of a sudden stop, bud?
Yeah, you hit the button.
I didn't hit any button. I hit, the keyboard?
Yeah.
Sorry. Bobby Dooley with us here from Western Estates. So the upshot, Bobby, on this young lady who had the wax teeth, has she been dismissed from her gal pal status, or what's going on?
Well, Phil, I hear a little bit of sarcasm in your voice there.
Yeah, there's a little bit.
And that's okay. You don't understand. We do have an image here. If you're going to be a gal pal, if you're going to be a member of the Circle of Taste, if you're going to be a member of the of this very august group of young ladies who are women, who are mothers, yes, who we like to think are influential when it comes to fashion and style. And then you walk around with these teeth that, as you said, I didn't. You said it, I didn't. You could eat at arm's length through a chain link fence, corn on the cob.
No, I didn't. No, you said that.
I said through a picket fence. Goodbye.
Did she hang up because she knew we were coming to the end of the hour?
You want me to call her back?
Yes, call her back.
Phil, you've been sitting here all hour long, stifling laughs.
You know, they're right, Phil. You've been giggling and guffawing like a schoolboy when you should listen to the... Now, I agree with you. There's no question in my mind that there is a shallowness to these women that needs to be pointed out. But nonetheless, can I get
more banana pudding?
Yes. Nonetheless.
What is Bud, like, running for banana pudding for you? And
yes, the young man is...
I'm seeing to the general's needs.
That is all, Dickman.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Bud, you're not in the Army, man, okay?
Never mind.
May I finish?
Go ahead.
Yes, and I happen to like the banana pudding. Is there something wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, sir. I'm just trying to move the show content along as opposed to people getting banana pudding, getting vanilla wafers, people getting sidetracked in a million different ways, you know.
You know what, I'll just ignore that outburst.
It wasn't an outburst, you asked me a question.
The point that I'm making is that I agree with you that these young women should not be concentrating so much on how messed up their teeth are. There are men like me out there, and other men, that love their women regardless of whether they... And I told you, my wife's teeth are black as coal. And the first 3 years of our marriage, I finally said to her, and I said it with great love because I love her.
How long have you been married?
We've been married 40 years. 40 years.
Okay.
And I married Caroline right after I got back from Vietnam, as a matter of fact. But I said to her, are you brushing your teeth? I'm just trying to cover all bases here. And she said, why do you ask? I said, because your teeth are coal black. She said, well, that's just runs in my family. I said, all right, enough said. And that's the end of it.
Well, all right. I mean, if you can live with that, and there's not a dental problem there.
No, no, no. She gets checkups, as I say, very frequently.
Black teeth.
Well, Margaret, if I were you, I wouldn't talk.
Excuse me?
Well, you're the one that smokes the Roytans, and I can see a little bit of residual yellowing right here. Just go ee. Just please do that.
Ee?
Yep, that's woo.
Woo! Oh, my ass. My teeth are shimmering white, I can assure you.
All right, if white is now yellow, You got it.
Okay. Can we not talk about this, please? Because it's very personal, and it can be extremely insulting, and we're all done, you know.
Speaking of that, Phil, why don't you get that tooth cap you've got there? You've got the most crooked-ass smile I've ever seen.
Yeah, Mr. Henry. If you... Okay. You know, it happens to be a tooth that was chipped. Yeah, I probably ought to get it capped. All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Dooley. That was just fantastic. Now, we are...
You're lying. It wasn't.
No, it actually was very, very interesting. It was. I never knew that a homeowners association president, and Bobby Dooley's gotten away with all kinds of things, but I never knew that she could actually demand of people to have their teeth, quote, demolished with metal posts and the whole thing. Good luck with that Circle of Taste chick, whatever her name is.
Tina Freushing Brown. I did see a picture of her. She's a beautiful girl, but her teeth are all, you know, just...
Yeah, kind of crooked and everything.
Okay, fine. A U.S. federal judge has granted a stay of execution to a white supremacist serial killer and legal challenges over the use of a new drug in the execution process. You know anything is interesting about this guy? This guy shot Larry Flint as some kind of what people thought was a statement about Larry Flint as a publisher of supposed pornographic or adult literature. And Larry Flint is shot by this man and paralyzed, put in a wheelchair. And the statement is, well, you may not agree with the method, but this is what happens when you're a porn publisher, you know. And then people on the other side saying this is an absolute and utter disgrace that anyone in our country would be targeted for this kind of violence expressing their opinion. It turns out the guy that shot Larry Flint wasn't really making any political statement at all. The guy's a scum-sucking serial killer. He's just a degenerate psychopath. You see?
Well, and you don't think a psychopath has opinions?
Yeah, they certainly do. Then their opinion all has to do with themselves. Where they're going to eat, who they're going to kill next, where they're going to have sex next, who they're going to have sex with, who they're going to kidnap, what clothes are they going to wear, what car are they going to steal. I mean, yeah, they've got opinions, all right, and it has absolutely nothing to do with society at large. They could care less about society at large. It has everything to do with themselves. So the ruling comes hours before Judge Joseph Franklin was due to be put to death in Missouri. Franklin, 63 years of age, was sentenced to death for killing one man and wounding two others outside a synagogue in 1977. Fantastic. Franklin also confessed to being the sniper who shot porn publisher Larry Flint in 1978, leaving him partially paralyzed. The BBC's Adam Lewis in Washington said that in the past 2 years, U.S. and European drug manufacturers have sought to distance themselves from executions, cutting off supplies and leaving U.S. states that use the death penalty scrambling for alternatives. Okay, go back to the electric chair. I could, you know.
Well, they're not going to do that, Phil, because that's cruel and unusual.
It's cruel, maybe. It ain't unusual. I mean, what's unusual about it? We've been doing it for a long time. So...
You're just angry.
I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed that we haven't really looked into this, and I have my reasons for that as well. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to take a break. We'll be back next hour. I'll give you those reasons if you want.
Like what?
For instance, they always talk about innocent people being put to death. How many people have died when a killer was let out of prison and murdered again? Have they counted up those numbers? I'm just wondering.
Say that again.
Yeah, I'll say it on the other side. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Watch us online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. Listen to more than 5,000 hours of archived full radio shows, the greatest radio show, the greatest talk radio show in the history of the world. And I think that's being proven now more than any ever before, because as talk radio slowly self-immolates with the, there's nothing left. You know, there's no more political talk. Everybody's running for cover with sports talk. Well, you can only have one or two sports talk stations in a market. You can't have five, guys. I know you wish that you could, but you can't. We have been all about on this show for years and years. We've been all about content on this show, real content, not hiring some hack to sit who used to be maybe a newspaper writer or sold bottled water, or at one time, you know, was a caller, and giving the guy a show so that he can be the 7 millionth guy to bag on Obama. And the end result now is there's no money left in the medium, our show is the antidote. Our show, shows like ours, if there are any, where we're all about the content. We're not about, you know, some jive ass sitting there and being a political lemming. So check it out, philhenryshow.com. Check out the thousands of hours that we have. Check out our podcast. Check out our website in general, our webisodes, all of the miscellany, like our interviews, radio interviews, television interviews, and our Bobby Dooley podcast, which is free. We've got a lot of free. We have a free section. If you go to it, says free stuff. You can see the Bobby Dooley stuff. You can see our YouTube channel, which we got to sort of spice that up a little bit, don't we?
Well, what do you mean spice it up? When you say that, people are going to think.
Yeah, they're going to think you got to put a nude in there.
A nude?
Well, when you say spice it up, what do you want? Something?
No, I'm just saying, you know, more cool stuff.
What happened to the Tebow stuff? Here it is. All right. So,
more cool stuff. I don't know.
More content, more material, and plus stuff that isn't necessarily from the show, but maybe it's me talking straight to the YouTube viewer about what our show's about. All right, so check us out, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Joe Dickhead and the Professor will join us here in just a moment, I should say. But before they do, just a update that last night's ball game, the Monday night game between the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots, turned on a ruling that initially the call was, I think, a pass interference call against the Carolina Panthers on a New England Patriot receiver. The official then picked up the flag saying, no, on second thought, it is not pass interference because the pass was not catchable. Now there's been a second guessing, as there usually is, and this from a former NFL official by the name of Jim Deopoulos. Jim spoke about the controversial call. He was asked about back judge Terry Miles picking up the flag that he initially threw for pass interference. And this Mr. Deopoulos said, I gotta tell you, he should have stood by his initial call, because for a ball to be uncatchable, it has to be clearly out of the field of play, or it has to be kind of, and then he said the thing that I guess was what got the headline. He said, maybe I shouldn't say this, a Tim Tebow-type pass that lands 15 yards in front of you.
Oh, my God. So he slammed on that fine young man. I know that Tim Tebow is a Jesus guy, and that puts people off. But I think he's a wonderful young man.
I don't think anybody doubts that. I think he's a terrific kid, too. I don't know that he's a great quarterback, but he's been a wonderful story. And he didn't need that, you know.
Well, I think that that's very insulting. And I think whoever made that statement should be censored or otherwise brought to heel or brought on the carpet.
Well, I don't know that they can, because he's a former official.
Well, what does that mean?
That means he's not, what? He's not official no more.
I understand that, but is he still beyond the purview?
Well,
I'm not done, bud. Is he still beyond the purview, woo, of the N, whatever it is, the N...
NFL? Probably. If he's retired, he's no longer employed by them. He can say whatever the hell he wants to say. Calling us here from Gold's Gym Gold's Gym in Hollywood, California, is Joe Dickhead. Along, I don't think the professor is with you, Joe. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing great, and we had a bit of a recovery here on the pitch that we did this past weekend. So there's no doubt about that.
You did have a recovery. You were going into the Monday night game 6-7, and you finally evened it up.
We did even it up. So if you're asking me what about that call, I think the call that was made was the proper call. I don't think that you can. That's a judgment call, and this guy Deopoulos, I wouldn't know him if I tripped over him in the dark, and he's making a second-guessing statement there when he's saying, well, this should have been a flag, but he shouldn't have stood by that. When you talk about an uncatchable ball, you have to be on the field of play, and you have to be able to see whether or not that ball can be caught, whether that ball is indeed catchable or not. I don't think that's a decision you make from a press box. I certainly don't think it's a decision you make from the living room of Jim Deopoulos. Having said that, of course, he is a former official. He's entitled to his opinion.
Well, that call saved the Carolina Panther win, and as such, you guys did pick Carolina to win the ball game. They went on to win it, and you guys wound up the weekend 7-7. What are you total for the season?
Well, this is only the second weekend that we've been calling games here on the Phil Henry Show. Of course, we've had the Joe Dick and the Professor Sports Hotline there in Las Vegas. We're in Los Angeles right now, attending a couple of functions and dinners, and I'm working out right now.
You work out, huh?
Can I ask Joe something?
Go ahead.
Joe, this is Margaret Gray. Are you lifting? What are you doing?
I'm doing some lifting, yeah. I'm trying to get my chest. I want to bulk out. I want to get my chest bigger. I want to get my arms bigger. I want the guns. I want to look like some of these guys who've got the big chests and the big arms and the big shoulders so that when I take my jacket off, I've got a big, bad look of muscles, you know, instead of being a scrawny little elderly man. You know, I'm 70 years of age, but there's no reason why I can't have a ripped and a really ripped six-pack and everything.
You talk about having a six-pack, Joe. I mean, 70 years old, how are you going to do that?
Is that dangerous?
What do you mean? What does that mean? Is it dangerous? How can it be dangerous? Giving myself, that's ridiculous.
You're not taking any steroids, are you?
I'm not taking any steroids. I'm lifting. I'm doing some aerobics. I do dumbbells in the morning. I'm curling. I'm doing squats. And I want to get a six-pack, and I want to have the big guns and tighten up the rear end and look like I mean business here by the end of the football season.
So in time for the Super Bowl.
There you go. In time for the Super Bowl, so that when I'm walking into the press box, I'm 70 years of age, and I don't think I'm talking out of school when I say it would be nice, even at the age of 70, to have some woman, if I can use the language, Phil. I mean, my name is Dickhead, so I guess, looking at my ass. Now, that is what I'm hoping will happen. That's what I'm counting on happening. That's what I'm booking on happening.
You want to give some odds on that?
What are you trying to be? Is that a smart-ass comment? Or?
No, I mean, look, all power to you, man, getting into that kind of shape. And, hey, if you can be 70 and have some chick looking at your ass, that's great, you know?
Well, there's a lot of 70-year-old women, I'm sure, that might be able to make that statement. I'm sure that Sophia Loren probably has a few men eyeballing her rear end.
Well, it's good for her. I know I do, I'll tell you that. And Margaret, too.
You mean me?
No, and Margaret.
A-N-N.
Well, no, he said and Margaret, too. You're looking at my ass.
No, I said and Margaret, not and Margaret.
Well, I don't understand.
Margaret, you're aware of an actress named Ann Margaret.
Oh, Ann Margaret, I'm sorry, yes.
Yes, Ann Margaret.
Looking at her, I don't mean to tell, Ann, if you're listening, I love you. She's a fat slob.
Ann Margaret's a fat slob?
Oh, for God's sake, she's got that toilet sloppy ass.
Well, I at this point in my life, I could care if the ass is toilet sloppy. I'll take all of it. I'll take all of it I can get, and then some. And
all right, let's move on off of this and talk about the ball game, and let's talk about Joe Dickhead and the Professor and your picks. Now, you went 7-7 this past weekend after opening up 9-4. You have an unusual way of picking games.
Absolutely, Phil. It is unusual. It's very unorthodox, but we do believe in it, and I'd love to tell you about it.
All right, hold on the line, because we're going to take a break. Joe Dickhead with us from Joe Dickhead and the Professor. He's here in Los Angeles. He's at Gold's Gym right now working out. They operate from Las Vegas. They have their offices there in Las Vegas. Opened up 9-4 last week, so they began making their picks, partially through the middle of the season. And opened up, as I say, they opened up at 9-4 last week, went 7-7 this week. So they're at 16-11, I think, all told. So we'll be back with Joe Dickhead and find out about how it is they... what is the methodology, man? It's pretty weird. Wait till you hear this. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Joe Dickhead with us from Joe Dickhead and the Professor as we talk about the track record so far this year. It's only been two weekends of their football picks. Now, Joe, as we talk about your methodology, we want people to know the history here. You guys were not doing too good picking football games in the traditional way. Isn't that correct?
That is absolutely correct, Phil. It's something that I've got no problem with telling people about, because we were not, as you say, successful. And we were obviously losing customers. as the word was out that Joe Dickhead and the professor didn't know their rear end from a hole in the ground, and our names notwithstanding, on the one hand, my name indicating that I don't know what I'm doing, and on the other hand, the professor's name indicating that he does, and it's actually completely the opposite. He doesn't know what he's doing. I do all the picks.
So what does he do?
Well, he's there for window dressing. He's there to basically make it look as if we've got two heads are better than one, etc. But all we do is use a formula. Now, I will tell you about the professor. He did come up with a formula for next weekend, which I'll tell you about. The first weekend formula was the head coach with the most vowels in his last name. Excuse me, that was last weekend. I'm sorry. Last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. The formula was, whichever team is perceived to be more popular, we picked the opposite team. So, in other words, when Dallas played New Orleans, we perceived not Dallas. We thought people were sick to death of Dallas, and so we perceived that New Orleans was the more popular team, so we went with the opposite team, Dallas. That was a bad pick. That was a bad pick. That was a loss, as New Orleans defeated Dallas, defeated them rather soundly. However, we did go 9-4 using that methodology. So, of the games, the 13 games that we picked, 9 of them were correct guesses that the team we picked was the opposite of the more popular team.
Okay. Now, this past weekend, what was the method?
This past weekend, the method was the team whose head coach has the most vowels in his last name we picked. Now, I want to thank Adam from Facebook, who pointed out very carefully, and I came back with a very rude response. I said, why don't you pound it with the sun? I said something like that. He said that we blew it picking Kansas City over Denver because Denver, their interim head coach was Jack Del Rio, who in point of fact had more vowels in his last name than Andy Reid. We had picked Kansas City based on what we believed was the head coaching of John Fox. He was not there. John Fox has been hospitalized or is taken ill or is otherwise incapacitated.
Was it John Fox in the hospital for a heart malady or something?
I think he's had some surgery, something, nothing hopefully serious. I don't think it is. But Jack Del Rio is the interim head coach, and this young man pointed that out, and he said, had you picked Denver based upon the vowels in Jack Del Rio's last name, you would have had them beating Kansas City. We ignored that. We told him to mind his own business and to butt out, and I was wrong. And I will tell you this much. I was inclined to go with him. The professor was the one who said, and I'm telling you...
You know, the professor's not there to defend himself, you know, so...
What are you saying?
Well, we're not saying anything. Joe, this is Margaret. I think what we're saying is... You know, how do we know the professor did all the things you're saying?
Because I'm telling you, I'm telling you this. This is the MS. The professor had it. I'm telling you, had it been me, this is the truth. Had it been me, I would have gone along with the kid. But the professor said no, in that dull-witted way that he does things. Next week we've got a formula that the professor himself has come up with. I don't know, but we're going to go with it.
Okay, what is it?
Next week, we are picking the team to win is the team that represents the city with the least number of high school graduates. Now, this is going to take some work.
The least number of high school graduates.
I don't understand this. Why don't you pick these games?
I just got done telling you, Margaret, I'll say it again, because picking them in the traditional way, we got our ass handed to us. We're going to be out of business. I got a business to run. What's the matter? I got to kick asses sometimes.
Oh,
You know, I don't understand you clowns at all. You're picking football games based on the high school graduates.
Yeah, well.
See, they were not good doing it the regular way, the way you're talking about, where they actually size up the strength of the team.
Yes.
They were lousy. They were rotten.
Well, why not do something else for a living?
Because I want to do. What do you mean do? I'm going to do what I'm going to do to get the union back. Okay. To quote Jack Nicholson, the right way. And I believe that, so the professor anyway, Phil, just to blow past what she's saying, the professor...
Oh, that's all right. You can blow past. I'm just the woman.
Well, it's a moot point, Margaret. We're doing it this way, whether you like it or not. So in any event, the professor said that we should pick teams that represent cities that have the least, not the most, the least number of high school graduates.
Okay, now, as I get it, there's no rhyme or reason to these methods.
Not at all.
Okay, it's the method itself that determines which team you believe or which team you are stating will win.
That's a very key difference. We don't believe these teams will win. We're simply saying they will win. Do we believe it? No, we have no idea. How could I pick a team based on the number of vowels in a hedge coach's last name?
You said, by the way, you said hedge coach.
I meant head coach. There's no hedge coach. There's no coach of a hedge.
Okay, bud?
Yeah, just...
Wow. Anyway, you know, that's insulting for that dumbass to...
Just go ahead and finish what you're saying.
All right, so what I'm saying is the following thing. Next week, and so this is going to present some problems for us, because when you take a team like the Minnesota Vikings, are we talking about the least number of high school graduates in Minneapolis? Are we talking about the least number of high school graduates in St. Paul? Are we talking about the least number of high school graduates in Minnesota? It's tough to say, you know.
Well, I would go with the metropolitan area that it actually is actually supporting the team.
Well, you can't really say that, because... it's a statewide team.
I understand statewide, and they probably have people coming in regionally. But how? Well, I don't know. Is that you know?
I don't care. I don't care whether it indicates the team wins or loses. It doesn't matter to me. We just have to get the. So I have to talk to the professor about that. Same thing with the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is a very small city. So are you talking about Wisconsin? Are you talking about Milwaukee? Are you talking about Green Bay? So when we get that worked out, we'll let you know. And
so the team that will be winning is the team with the least number of high school graduates. Not the team with the least number of high school graduates.
No, it's the team that has the that represents the city with the least number of high school graduates. So that couldn't be, you know, it'd be anybody's guess. But I tell you what I'll do is I'll go over here to the schedule and take a look at it for you, and we can take an educated guess.
I think that would be interesting.
All right, well, I'm going to go over here to the National Football League schedule. All right, give you an example here, Phil. Coming up this weekend, week 12, you've got the New Orleans Saints against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, one would think that New Orleans has got, and I'm saying this with the greatest of respect, Atlanta has a reputation of being a dumbass city, but that's not true. Atlanta is an island, as I've often heard it said, in a sea of dumb.
Atlanta is an island in a sea of dumb.
What? Does that mean Atlanta? Are you going to represent? Is it the city of Atlanta, or is it the surrounding metropolitan area? See, that's important.
I think wherever the statistics are. I think wherever the statistic is. If we can get a statistic broken out for the city, I'm sure we'll have one broken out for the state. That's probably what we'll go. But wherever the statistic is.
Well, wherever the statistic is, you know, I don't want to get too nitpicky because obviously this is, you know, not rocket science. But if you have a statistic for both the city, for the metro as well as the state, which one do you pick?
I personally would go with the metro.
I would too. I would agree with that.
I would chuck the whole idea and do it like a civilized man and pick it based on the team's strength.
I told you. How many times has this been?
Did you call me abroad?
Margaret, just butt out.
Is there toilet paper?
Yes.
Good. Is she going to the toilet?
Yes, I am.
Great. You haven't been all night. God, I'm sorry, Margaret, but, you know, this is my bread and butter, okay? This is my bread and butter, and I want to talk to Phil about it.
All right, fine. So let's take a look here. So you're saying the Saints?
I'm saying the Saints win that game because that's a far more dumbass town than Atlanta. So, boom. Now here we have Baltimore and the New York Jets. Well, three guesses. The first two don't count. Baltimore all the way. You've got to believe that Baltimore has per capita more dumbbells than New York. Then you move on to the Carolina Panthers and the Miami Dolphins. One would think that Miami is loaded with dumbasses, but we're talking about Charlotte, North Carolina here. So,
all right, hold that thought here. And again, that's not what is ultimately going to be the decision, because what's going to be the decision, what am I doing taking this seriously for?
You know, I was just going to say, Phil, I've been sitting here with my jaw hanging open, and you're talking earnestly with some moron about how many dumbasses are in a town, and that means the team. I can't believe this. And I'm the one sitting here eating the banana pudding.
And you've got some on your chin, too.
Well, I don't give a sweet.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back here with more from our very deep, close, personal friend here, Joe Dickhead, and the professors, and the professor, as we talk about, as we talk about the forthcoming games and the methodology that these guys are using to pick these ball games. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Seems this world got you down.
So Phil Henry Show. 855-500-7445. Online at philhenryshow.com. We have a video cast of the show every night. We're on Phil TV right now. Coming up on Friday, we are going to have a return to our kind of our Q&A for BSPs. If you're a Backstage Pass member, head on over to our website on Friday at 3 Pacific, and I'll be there, and we'll be talking and chewing the fat and all of that. Joe Dickhead with us, and I said to Joe, and we're going to have, we also have Steve Bozell, who's in the offing. Steve is going to be on. He was not available for the Game of the Week this past weekend. We may have seen the last of the Game of the Week simply because of the situation at the Bozell home that we will talk about, and I've asked you not to comment, bud, even though I know you're privy.
Yeah, I do know the situation, and I do.
Well, don't say anything yet.
I'm not saying nothing.
All right. Joe, the thought occurs that as you talk about these games forthcoming this weekend, picking the winning team based on the number of high school graduates, that is, the least number of high school graduates in a given city, their team should win, you're going to have a lot of people already doing the math on that.
I thought about that, Phil, and I told the professor that. The professor wanted to make sure that I talked about the methodology for this weekend's game. And I said to him, people are going to start emailing us with the picks because they're going to do the homework for us. And he said, I didn't think of that. And I said to him, you've left me dangling in the breeze. I'm twisting in the breeze here, dangling with my shorts pushed down around my ankles. So if you can imagine a guy who's twisting in the breeze and on top of that, his pants around his ankles.
Sounds like a gallows.
Oh, my God. You don't have to be that graphic.
Phil, what is your problem?
What do you mean, what's my... That's what he was talking about.
Well, I'm not saying I'm hanging by my neck. You know.
Well, if you're twisting in the breeze with your pants...
In any event, let me just finish what I'm saying.
Good God, Phil. We're talking about football here.
Oh, well, okay, Margaret. I mean, I didn't know you were an expert.
Well, apparently you don't have to be. You just pick the number of dumbasses in a city. Wherever you live, Joe, I think they should win the Super Bowl.
Oh, isn't that... Oh, give the lady a cigar. Give the lady another cigar so her teeth can get more yellow.
How dare you, if you were in front of me...
If I was in front of you, ma'am, you would probably be... If I was in front of you and I was also sitting at a slot machine, you'd sit down next to me and ask me for a few... You know what I'm talking about.
So you're call... Oh, my God. Joe, when I see you again, I'm going to beat your ass bloody. That's a promise from me to you. Excuse me.
Margaret.
No, I'm going to go outside and have a white owl. Is there a problem with that?
I'll have your white owl, honey.
You know, that was unnecessary, Joe.
Oh, come on. I'm sitting here trying to get a job done, and that woman's... She's commenting on... This is a lady. I've known her for a long time. Believe you me.
You didn't have to make comments about the color of her teeth.
Well, she's talking about... Didn't she just say that wherever I live, they ought to win the Super Bowl? That's L.A. We don't have a team. Oh.
You live in Las Vegas.
We don't have a team there either. So, I told him that people are going to do the math, so...
All right, well, why don't you just call it a night here? And I would also say that, to people listening, the methodology for this weekend's game has not been settled on, right?
No, it is not. This was one idea that the professor had, which now we're probably going to throw it out because I'm going to get thousands of emails from people saying, I already did the homework, and I can tell you now that this, that.
All right, well, I appreciate it very much. We've got Steve Bozell standing by. Thank you very much, Joe. Best of luck. Congratulations. I think it's a pretty strong start, 16-11. It's as good as some guys do, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think we're doing fine, and I think that, again, we don't want to think too hard about this. All we want to do is start making some money so I can pay some bills and so I can walk around without the rear end hanging out of my slacks. And as we make money, that's when I want to start working out a little more, because you want to be ripped because you have a shirt that doesn't have a hole in it and you've got a pair of pants on that doesn't have the crotch hanging open.
All right, man. See you later.
Goodbye.
There he goes.
That guy, he's my hero. He's always got an angle.
Yeah, Joe Dickhead, folks, from Joe Dickhead and the Professor, and he's now working out, huh?
Yeah, so he wants to get ripped and wants guns.
Is he gone?
Yeah, come on in, Margaret. Where's the general?
He's taking a nap.
Taking a nap.
No, what do you mean taking a nap, you smartass? I'm getting more of the banana pudding.
Oh.
I'm not taking a nap. I was listening to this guy, Dickhead,
thinking that no better name could be applied to a jackball like that. And I'll tell you one other thing, too. He was absolutely right in saying that he shouldn't speak of the methodology because he'll have all these other suckers out there telling him what to do. But I will say this. I think his methods are as solid as anybody else's.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about the same thing, and you're right. My anger at Joe notwithstanding, picking the winning team based on the least number of high school graduates or whatever it is he's doing, color scheme of the uniforms, is as solid an idea as these other clowns that you see on television.
Absolutely, and so I'm very anxious to see what this moron picks and is... What, Margaret?
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
You know, that... Forget it.
Well, what's wrong?
Well, what's wrong?
I told you, I thought I've had this established now, that I don't keep those in so I don't suffer injury to the esophageal canal.
You know what?
Go ahead and say what you want to say.
No, I don't want to. I'm done.
See, you just ruined it.
Oh, I ruined it. Poor baby.
I'm not going to... Listen, I'm not coming in. I'm not getting sloppy seconds after a belch. Well, what's wrong with you?
All right.
What, are you stunned?
Yeah, I'm stunned. Yeah, I am stunned. Okay, Steve Bozell is on the line with us from Corona, California. And, Stephen, tough weekend for you. As April, your wife, told you that you would not be allowed out of the house. Now, and I'm assuming you're at the pond?
You assume right.
Okay, tell me about it. Tell me what's going on. We didn't have a game of the week.
I know that. And I want to tell Dickman, you know, I'm sorry. I'm disappointed for me. I'm also disappointed for you.
No, that's okay. I understand how it goes.
Well.
Tell me what happened.
Well, I was all getting all ready, and I was going to drive over to the studio, and I was going to go over to Henry Radio Studio. And I was going to do the game of the week. And, I mean, that was on Saturday. What we was doing, we were doing a rundown, right, Bud?
Yeah, we're going to do a rundown on a rosters and a play selections of the teams and everything.
So you guys were prepping.
Yeah, them got me beat yet. April, could you not be staring at me? My wife is standing there staring at me. I'm out here at the pond. I'm trying to have a little relaxation time. All right. Well, she wants to come out here and make sure... She's monitoring me right now, and I think it's unfair.
You know, you got a situation there. You got a daughter that monitors what you say.
Oh, yeah, she's doing that, too.
You got your daughter daughter monitoring it.
Yeah, and April's here, and I'm at the pond, April. I'm here at the pond. God, man, what a chip. So she's standing. I may have to get on another phone here. I may get on another phone here later on, but all I'm saying is... I was getting ready to come on out to the studio, and April says to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going out to the studio, and she said, you're not doing another game tomorrow, and I said, you bet your sweet, you know, butt and everything, and she's like, that ain't going to happen. She said, now, you've been messing around doing those games, and that's okay. I put up with it one week. Could you get that squirrel? Would you get the squirrel, please? Because there's a squirrel up a tree, Phil, and I've asked April to go ahead and tag it for me.
Well, what's wrong?
I don't need that thing lunging at my throat while I'm trying to do what I'm doing now. Get it. I don't care what you're doing. You can kill it. You can strangle it. I don't care if I never see it again, but I'd like you to kill it. Thank you. Yeah, April's here, so she'll deal with it.
Well, you know what? Why don't you just go inside?
I'm sorry?
Why don't you go inside? What are you out there at the pond for if you got a fear of being attacked by a squirrel? You got your wife there.
She's going to leave. As soon as you get that squirrel, I'd like you to go in the house. You get the squirrel, I'd like you to go in the house. I'm not going to be at the game. I'm talking to Phil Henry about how you humiliated me. Yeah, she's laughing now. Did you bag it? Well, she's got a bag. She's got a burlap sack. She says there's a squirrel in it, so she's walking off now. So I was getting ready to come out to the game, come out to the studio, and she taps me on the shoulder and says, where are you going? I said, I'm on my way over to the studio. She goes, for what? I said, to go see the, you know, to practice the game. And she goes, that's, tell me another one. Yeah, you know, why don't you pull the other one? It's got bells on it. And I said, you got to be kidding. And she said, yep. She said, you've been going to these games every single weekend, and now, see, she lied to me because there's another squirrel looking at me right now. So I said, got to be kidding. She goes, no, you're staying home this weekend. I said, April, I told Phil and everybody, and they space. She goes, I don't care. You're staying home, and, you know, because we're going over to the L.A. County Arboretum because they're having the African floral display. And I said, oh, my God, I got to do the game.
Well, she did call me.
She did.
Yeah, she did call me. She apologized. Said, Phil, I'm sorry, but Steve is going with me and the kids to the Arboretum. And she asked me about it because I grew up in Arcadia, where that is.
Yeah, I know.
And, well, you do.
Yeah, I mean, she said, oh, Mr. Henry, you know, and all that. I said, well, that's fine. You got me sitting in a tram, you know, and all the other guys are watching a football game, and I'm sitting on my can in a tram, and I'm riding through the African, you know, orchids and everything. And she's like, you know, you're going to have to suck it up and be a man about it. And I said, look, I'm married to you. And that's when she, you know, made that look on her face like she was going to, you know, put me somewhere where it would be years before they'd find me. And when they did, the clothes would be fine. But what's inside of them ain't going to be.
I get it, Steve. All right, let's take a break. Steve Bozell with us. Perhaps you can get on another phone, Steve, and get away from those squirrels, whatever that is.
What's his problem with the squirrels?
The squirrels are up the tree.
I thought Dean Wheeler had the same problem.
Dean Wheeler's got a squirrel problem. I don't know what it is, but these guys, Dean goes out in his backyard, and he's hired two different companies that I know of. Now we got Steve, and he's out there at the pond, and he's got squirrels up a tree. At least Steve doesn't imagine the squirrels are laughing at him or conspiring against him. I'll give him that much. All right, we'll be back here, folks, with more from Steve Bozell on what's happening in terms of the, you know, in terms of his involvement with our game of the week. His wife has told him that he is not allowed to do the game. I feel really stupid because it's almost as if, you know, what's going on here, man? It's almost as if we asked him to come out and play and his mom won't let him, you know?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Well, that's the way it is with you clowns, so that's the way we have to be.
Yeah, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
You gotta be kidding.
Oh, no, hold on. Yes, I am kidding.
Doug, back, get a rice.
I'm joking. I said I was going to get a rice rocket. No. I don't want to die. I wouldn't mind having a motorcycle just for the freeing nature of it. I wouldn't mind. You know, I had one as a kid, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. I didn't enjoy the fact that every 5 seconds somebody was reminding me that you can get killed on one of those. That bothered me. I get it already. I understand already. How old do you think I am? You know.
Well, Phil, they're not safe.
No kidding. Do you know from the time I've been 13 years old, people have been telling me they're not safe? I understand. I understand you got to wear a helmet. I understand you got to avoid riding on wet surfaces. I understand all of it. You know, and I understand already. God, if they're not safe, they're not safe. I enjoy riding motorcycles from time to time because it's a marvelously fun way of getting from one place to the next. I'm not talking about it as the primary commute vehicle. I'm just talking about having a bike.
Well, you get a bike, then get a rice rocket. Get a Harley or a BMW or something.
I'm talking about BMW.
Yeah, BMW's good. Or get a Honda, like a road cruiser.
I don't want to get one of those old guy bikes, no. All right, let me get back here to Steve Bozell, who's on the line with us here from Corona, California. Steve, we was going to try to get on another phone, but maybe we'll do that some of the time, Steve. So tell me, so your wife says to you,
My wife says to me that you are not going to be allowed to go and do the game. Now, you say that she called you.
She did call me. She said, you know, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but Steve has to go with us to the Arboretum for the annual African orchid display. And it did sound to me like she was rubbing it in a little bit.
See, right there. Hey, April. Hey, she's back in the house. So she did rub it in.
Well, not rub it in, but I laughed and she laughed. She said, Steve's going to come with us to the orchid thing. And I said... I said, well, it's a Sunday afternoon. That's a heck of a way. And she goes, yeah, I know. But she said he's got to spend some time with us, and he's been spending every Sunday afternoon doing the games.
Okay, so what she did was paraded me for all the world like some boy that just she wiggles her finger, and I'm sitting there on a tram looking at orchids. See, that's the whole part of it that bothered me, because I got the call from Hutchins and Pettigrew both, who got the word got leaked to them. And when Roy Hutchins and Cliff Pettigrew get the word, the word might as well be put on Voice of America or any ham set that you can pick up in Iceland, because they're going to tell everybody. And sure enough, I come home, I got messages up the wazoo, voicemail, email, text messages. Hey, you know, how was the tram ride? And, you know, this and that. And did you buy some of them little, and one of the guys, I think it might have been Pettigrew, one of my other crew guys, he says to me, did you buy any of them little kibble nuts that you can get in a vending machine for the squirrels? Or, I mean, for, you know, how you can buy those things?
Yeah, they have little, like, corn.
Yeah. You get the corn for, and like that, and I go, you know what, you can rot here on Earth and then continue the rot down in hell. And that didn't dissuade them. And
well, I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Well, you didn't do it. April did it.
Well, how do you figure Hutchins and Pettigrew heard?
I don't think April called them up. She's not going to do that. But Hutchins has probably leaned over the back fence like he always does and said, "Hey, April, I don't hear the game of the week." And that's when she probably April Jr. said something like, "Yeah, my daddy, you know, went over to the flower show." God.
Well, Steve, take it easy, man. You know, a man spends time with his wife and his kids. That's not a bad thing.
I know that, but did they have to say I'm sitting on a tram going through a jungle?
What do you mean, going through a jungle?
Because part of the tram ride goes through the jungle over there.
So?
Well, I'm just saying, the whole effect of me going to a flower show, riding a tram through a jungle, and skirting the edge of a lagoon, they think I'm on some little... They think I'm, you know, in Middle Earth or something. And I'm wearing a bonnet. I mean, that's the part that I can't live through. That's the part that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around.
What are you having a hard time wrapping your mind around?
You know, Steve, this is General Shaw. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
I'm listening here with great interest to the conundrum, if you know what that means, a conundrum. And it sound, is that an ape? I hear an ape in that tree.
It does sound like a monkey, but I've been assured by the tree surgeon and the botanists that have been out here that there ain't no monkey up there. It's most likely a squirrel.
Because I thought I heard a distinct, right there, I heard another chimpanzee sound.
Yeah, I did too, but like I said, I called out Roy's tree trimming, and they assured me, they crawled up there, and I said, do you see any kind of primate life? And they said, no, you know, we're up here trimming the treetop, and they're... And he looked at me like I was weird, so...
All right, well, what I want to know, you went out to see the botany. Now, I'm a general of the United States Army, and I've seen combat, and yet I enjoy very much going to different floral displays and so forth, but I suppose that's because I've had the experience of the hellishness of war, and you have been sitting... doing whatever you do.
Well, see, that's... You're slamming me.
Well, I'm not slamming you, but you... I think you need to assert yourself and tell your wife that you want to go and do the game, and she can grab one of the guys. What about the guys that do her hair? Can she get one of them?
I tried to. I said, you know, what about Dale, who's the guy over there at Hair Planet? And she said, what about him? I said, why don't you take Dale with you to go? And she said, Dale's watching the football game. I said, man, you got to be kidding me. I said,
Wait. She said, the guy, the what?
The guy that does her hair, he's watching the ball game.
Well, what makes you guys think that gay guys don't like football?
Well, I don't know. I just assumed, naturally, and I didn't make it. If I'm making an assumption that's insulting, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I. Hold on for a minute. I gotta get a drink of water.
Talking to Steve Bozell here. I'm going to let you go here in a second, Steve. I don't want this to...
Right now, I'm wondering again if I could get Roy's tree service back out here to see. I hear that. Do you hear that, General?
I do. I can hear what sounds to me to be the very distinct chirping of either a lemur or a lower ape life. But you say the tree trimming service says no go.
That's right. I called out Roy's tree trimmer, which is not Roy Hutchins. It's a whole different Roy. And they went up and they said, if you can find a monkey up here, man, you're a better man than me. And he kept on trimming the... And I made the joke. I said, well, yeah, I see one right now. He's trimming a treetop, and that's when he crawled down the tree and went, got in his truck and left. And no explanation, no nothing.
You know, I what's that again?
I said...
No, hold on. You know, your world is filled with more, like, just tender asses than I've seen in my life. The guy crawled down from the tree and did what?
He said, there's no monkey life up here, and I said, except for the guy trimming the treetop. And that's when he just dropped the shears to the ground, crawled down the tree, picked him up, went to the truck, and left.
Oh, well, he was offended by the ape crack. Well, big deal. I mean, it's a funny joke.
That's what I thought. But not me, no. Not Steve Bozell. I don't give a damn.
Well, it sounds like you're coming apart at the seams there, Steve. Yeah, Steve, we're going to let you go, man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that poor man.
Poor man. Steven Bozell is one for the books, I can tell you that much. One for the books.
All right, I guess the game of the week is on suspension until we figure out more. We will have Joe Dickhead and his picks this coming weekend. And as far as we know, there's no monkey life in any of the trees up there on Steve's property. And what is this, Roy's Tree Service? Roy's Tree Service, not Roy Hutchins, is who he uses to trim his trees. And I guess he's got a guy that works for him who trims trees that has no sense of humor.
Well, when you call a man an ape, Phil...
Oh, he didn't. He's joking. He said there's no monkey life up here except for the guy trimming the trees. Anyway, we'll see you guys later. See you tomorrow night, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.